First period's on Fridays. Third period's on Thursdays. Fifth period's on Tuesdays. Now that we are a few days into the new school year, it's likely that you have become quite familiar with your daily schedule. It's probable that you have memorized or are getting close to memorizing which subjects you have and during which periods you have them. And there are certain subjects which apply to most, if not all, of the students here. At Emmanuel, the classes are designed in such a way that in every regular course of study, there is the inclusion of the subject of God's Word. And in the high school department, at least, most students are occupied with the subjects of math and history, English, music. That's not to suggest, however, that all of the subjects which you have been assigned appear on the daily schedule, nor that the group of students gathered here this morning are the only ones to be engaged in the development of certain subjects. There are a number of areas in the realm of spiritual things with which the Lord wants every one of us to be involved. There is, first of all, the subject of Jesus himself. He said, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There is the subject of God's mercy. He said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." There's also the subject of Christian hope. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Then there's the subject of becoming subject. And what amazing things can emerge within any Christian assembly when this simple lesson is learned well. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Become subject to one another in reverence for Christ." And to whom does Paul assign this subject? To each and every one of us, even though none of us by nature would ever be inclined to sign up for this subject. Becoming subject, becoming submissive to other individuals, is never an elective. On the contrary, the inclination of our sin-darkened hearts is to view ourselves as being superior to others and of our interests as being of far greater importance. Pride is one of the things the Lord included in that familiar list when he said, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile a man. The desire to serve one another in a spirit of submissiveness was lost when sin entered the human heart. "It is the wisdom of this world to dominate others," wrote the commentator Lenski, "to stoop below others only when one is compelled to stoop." The world as a whole, and especially the society in which we live, not only allows for self-assertiveness and aggression, but it hails them and upholds them and promotes such things as the only true way to become successful. But the only things that result from prideful, haughty attitudes are bitterness, anger, discord, tension. That which does not come naturally to the human heart, however, is still a possibility. The human heart can be taught to be subject to others when one witnesses and learns from the one who put perfect submissiveness on perfect display. Paul wrote, "Become subject to one another in reverence for Christ." The one who sits on heaven's highest throne descended to the very lowest possible position, entirely for the purpose of serving us. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus was the straight-A student, also in the subject of subjecting himself, of becoming submissive, always to his Father's will, and always doing that which would serve others. Even though we were his creatures, even though we were his rebellious creatures, Even though we were his rebellious creatures who wanted nothing to do with him by nature, he came to serve. That's humility. That's submissiveness. And that's the attitude which we are to put into practice in our dealings with one another, regardless of who we or others might be. It is true that the Lord gives specific directives to certain people within the framework of a household. Later in this same section, Paul said, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters as to Christ." But serving as a type of umbrella word over this entire section comes this broad brush directive, "Become subject to one another in reverence for Christ." Even those who are in positions of authority within a Christian community are to serve with a spirit of submissiveness. No rivalry, no self-exaltation, no divisive pride is to interfere, continues Lenski. Rich and poor, learned and simple, high and low are to be one. And that is accomplished by subjecting themselves to each other in Christ's fear. Not in false humility, in sycophancy or the like. None is to subject another. Each is to subject himself voluntarily, freely. This is to be mutual, reciprocal, all around. What a wise thing, and how fine when none lords it over another, when each serves the other. And another scholar, F.F. Bruce, noticed how this theme is one that is found in the epistles elsewhere as well. Christians should not be self-assertive, each insisting on getting his or her own way. As the Philippian believers are told, they should be humble enough to count others better than themselves and put the interests of others before their own, following the example of Christ, who emptied himself, humbled himself, and became obedient, even when the path of obedience led to death on the cross. Out of reverence for their Lord, who set such a precedent, his followers should place themselves at one another's disposal, living so that their forbearance is a matter of public knowledge, even when others are encouraged on this account to take advantage of them. Even those who fill positions of responsibility and honor in the Christian community, to whom their fellow believers are urged to render submission and loving respect, earn such recognition by being servants, not lords. First period on Fridays, third period on Thursdays, second period on Tuesdays, and during every period of our lives, we are to be mindful of the important subject of subjecting ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Imagine the positive impact on a campus such as this when such a simple principle is put into play. How wonderfully the suppression of self-assertiveness leads to serenity. The removal of haughtiness leads to happiness, and the banishment of pride leads to peace. The hymn for this morning, hymn 458, stanzas 1 and 6, 458, 1 and 6.